Hour number 3 of 4 today here on this Thursday edition of the Kenny and JT Show. Minus JT on vacation. Be back on Monday. So we've been loading up with guests left and right, talking college, NFL, and high school football. And that's the avenue we're going to travel down right now by going to the Wake 'em Way hotline and bring in the outstanding high school football beat reporter at the Independent. Read him in the repository and elsewhere. Chris Easterling joining us right now. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Kenny. How you doing?
I'm outstanding, man. I cannot wait. The weather's supposed to be spectacular tomorrow night at Paul Brown Tiger Stadium for the battle in the D2 Region 7 playoffs between Hoover and Maslin. You'll be there. I'll be there. We're doing the game. You're covering it. We're going to get to that one in a second, Chris. But I want to go back to the games you covered last week. You had Maslin against Walnut Ridge last week. 56-0, Chris. Another shutout, third of the season for this team. Defensively, we were talking about this yesterday and today. You always look back at that 81 McKinley team and what they give up, like 32 points or whatever it was the whole season. Well, Maslin's putting up some pretty impressive numbers this year as well defensively. How good are they defensively, Chris, and how good were they last week?
You know, I was thinking about this week, and it might be the best. If you look at it, stick to the last 3 or 4 years when, they've had these deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
I think it might be the best defense they've had. Now, they've had maybe some higher ceiling players, on some other teams, you think of like Dean Clark at safety or Kyshawn Mack at outside linebacker or some of those guys. But, all three levels, they just got guys that can make plays. And I think what they get with Miller and Woolard off the edge is something they really haven't had in a long time. You might have to go back to when like Crable was playing in the early 2000s. The pressure they can create, the linebackers who can fly around and make plays, the defensive backs who, are both great in coverage and in run support. It has to be one of the best defenses they've had in the last 20 years. I'll be quite honest. And they're showing it with what they're doing when they play overmatched opponents like they did last week. They're not giving any inch, any ground. And that was the thing about last week was so impressive is, I think that they talk always about the game after the McKinley game. Both
right.
teams actually talk about it. That first week of the playoffs, win or lose against it, in the game, the kind of the letdown week that is. I think the break helped them kind of, shift out of, McKinley week mode to playoff mode. And you saw it, I thought it was they really put together, I think the last two games, two of the best performance, arguably the two best performances all around they've had all season, and it couldn't come at a better time for the Tigers.
Yeah. 56-0, 56 yards, 2 rushing is what they gave up defensively, I think it was last week. They're giving up 7.8 points per game through the first 7 games so far in that game. But also, besides the defense, what stood out to me, Chris, as I was following you on Twitter and reading the story and all that, was their first 2 touchdowns were passing touchdowns. And the games that I have seen, Chris, and I'll be honest with you, I think Maslin people got spoiled the last 3 years with Aiden Longwell, right? 4 years, 3 years, whatever it was. And so you knew this was going to be a different team offensively. How would Zach Catrone step in at quarterback and have to fill those very big shoes? Well, the defense is there for them, so they don't have to score as much. But I have been concerned about that passing game up until last week when their first 2 scores were bombs to Ballard and Wilson Lamp. So is this passing game starting to come around at the right time for them?
I think, and it's not going to be what it was with Aiden at quarterback. I think, like you say, I think you get kind of spoiled when you have a generational kind of one of the best quarterbacks. I mean, you think about, the statement, and the records show it. I mean, he was one of the best quarterbacks to ever wear a Tiger uniform. And you get kind of spoiled. And, Zach's a really, really good high school quarterback. But he's not Aiden Longwell, and that's no shade to Zach. But and we've talked. I think you and me have talked before, just off air. I think defenses were like, with this Maslin team, they were like, okay, we're not going to let you beat us over the top. We're right. going to drop our safety, deep safety back 20 yards. Our corners are going to bail. And I think what they've started to show with the running game, with what Wiltrell Hartson showed against McKinley, with that burst and explosiveness in the running game, you're starting to see defenses really have to – they have to make a decision again. And if you got to do that, then, you know, guys like Jaden and Andrew are going to feast a little bit, especially if Dak can get them the ball. And I think he can. And, you know, I mean, I think this week will be a better test against a good Hoover team. And, you know, if they get past Hoover, Westerville South or Perry or whomever else might, you know, we'll see, but certainly it was a good sign because it was Andrew's first touchdown of the season, and it was Jaden's first touchdown since the Eds game. So, you know, it's just more to put on the other team's plate as they're trying to, and they already know about those guys, but when you show it on film and you show it in a recent game on film, it's just more for them to think about.
Talking with Chris Easterling, does a great job covering high school football in Stark County, the Independent Repository. Always happy to catch up with him, talk high school football. And let me just say this, and we'll move along to the other game you were at last weekend. I think Andrew Wilson-Lamp is one of the most underrated players in Stark County. I would take him on my team in a heartbeat over a lot of guys, Chris. And I bring up two plays that stick in my mind. Not this year, but last year's McKinley game, the pass breakup in the end zone, right, playing corner.
Yep.
And then this year to track down Elijah Wesley on that first play, stop him at the one, and then on the next play they get a fumble and a turnover. That shows me all I need to know about that kid, that big-time games, big-time plays are made by big-time players, and he's one of them. So I think he's one of the most underrated players in Stark County.
Yeah, and I think you touched on the side of the football that I don't think people think of him a lot about, because right. It was only probably a handful of games at the end of last season that he played corner for him. I think the McKinley game, the Hoban game, I think the LaSalle game, really those three only was he really a corner. And I think that's where he probably has the best chance to get on the field at West Virginia next year, whenever he gets his chance at WVU, is that corner. I've heard a lot more chatter from on WVU sites and even other schools that were still sort of trying to hope to flip him, that the prospects of playing corner was something. He's a big corner. He's 6'1". He's got that size you kind of like in a corner. So. I'll be curious to see at the next level and as they go forward in the playoffs, how he plays defensively, because I do think that's where he could have a real impact at the next level.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I look at that team. And he's a dual threat wide receiver, well, triple threat. You want to put him back on kickoff returns or punt returns, maybe if you're playing a Hoban or in a bigger game, right? That's another way that he can be, effective. And I'm trying to think, is Josh Chandler a junior or is he a senior at West Virginia, Chris?
I think Josh is a senior down there.
Okay. All right. I was trying to.
It's been a while. I'm trying to remember.
It's been a minute, right?
His senior at McKinley, and I'm not sure if he redshirted while he's down at West Virginia.
I think he does have one more year if he wants to, if he doesn't want to turn pro. I think he does. So
think about it. Everybody does, because the NCAA kind of gave a blanket extra year of eligibility. So, I think it's all up to Josh, and at when he he gets the other ones this year with the Mountaineers, he feels. But
my point is, how nice would it be to see those two playing on the same field from Stark County, one from Maslin, one from McKinley, a linebacker and a defensive back?
Absolutely. And I'm always amazed that you haven't seen Morgan. Morgantown's only about 3 hours away from here. So I'm surprised that you haven't seen maybe with Neil Brown there the last couple of years, maybe they start getting up here a little bit more. I've been sort of surprised at how little West Virginia gets up here comparative to other out-of-state programs like like Pitt and Kentucky and Iowa State and the like.
Chris, let's move to the other game you covered last week, Northwest, correct? You were at that game?
Yep, I was at Northwest Girard.
All right, how good is Northwest, the Indians, this year? They're undefeated to this point. How good are they?
I think they're really good. I think last week was the perfect kind of game for them. You know, their first trip back to the playoffs since 2011. You know, I think, you know, they faced some early adversity, gave up a kick return for a score on the first kickoff of the game, gave up a pick six right at the end of the first half after they looked like they were starting to really take control of the game. And, you know, every time they were put in sort of an adverse situation, they responded and they, they made plays. Jordan Mick's just, I think the best thing to happen for Jordan Mick was hiring a John DeMarco. I think John has really, really tapped into Jordan's potential. He, obviously living in Canal Fulton, I know when he came back, you know, he grew up in the Northwest District, went and won a couple state titles at Hoban as a freshman and sophomore. And I think when he came back, it was all like, oh, I think there was a lot of pressure put on him. And I don't think he was necessarily done a lot of favors last year with a lot of different things. But John has really simplified things to a point, taking some things off his plate and let him just play quarterback. Just let him do his thing. And you saw it. You've seen it all season with his arm, you know, throwing for like 1,800 yards in the regular season. But I was impressed on Saturday the way he ran the football and just another dimension. You know, he's run all season, but, you know, he ran for close to 200 yards, a lot of, you know, broken field running, a lot of, you know, reversing fields, you know, and it's just, again, like we talked with Maslin's offense, you know, giving opponents something else to really worry about as they're getting ready to play you is just going to make that dynamic Northwest offense even more dangerous as you progress forward. You know, they got a tough one this week with Shaw and, you know, which has a really, really talented defense. Everything I've read, I think they have multiple kids that when Cleveland City Schools shut down, some Glenville kids went to East Cleveland Shaw. So they've got some talent. But, you know, I think Northwest is capable of a long run. But, you know, even with Maslow, it's, you know, in the playoffs, you can't get too far ahead out on your skis. You got to take each week as it goes. And I think the fact that they've now been in a playoff atmosphere, all those kids, not just Jordan, you know, having been in it before at Hoban, is great for them now going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm looking forward to that matchup. We're going to have Coach DeMarco on the show coming up at 6 o'clock today, so everybody can tune in for that, all of the Indians fans out there. And Jordan Mick, I was just looking at his numbers, 2,007 yards passing, 505 yards rushing, 20 touchdown passes, 9 touchdowns rushing. So he's amassed 2,500 yards and 29 touchdowns in this, COVID season, which is only 7 games long. So his number, he puts him in the running for Stark County Player of the Year, Chris. I really believe that, man. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Connor Ashby. And you got to look at Joshua Lemon, right, from Perry.
I would think those are the guys whose statistics, you know, jump off the page. And you know, I would say those, you wonder, you know, does Cam Blair, you know, get, you know, some consideration? But definitely if I was handicapping the race, I'd say, you know, I think, you know, what Lemon has done for Perry and what Perry's been, I would think he might be the favorite, but both Connor and Jordan have to be high up on the list as well.
All right, Chris, the game this weekend, we're going to do it. It's our Sarshone Ford Radio Game of the Week on Friday at Paul Brown Tiger Stadium. That's tomorrow, 7 o'clock kickoff. Hoover, 5-2. Maslin, 6-1. I've said this. We talked with Nate Moore earlier in the week, and he went out of his way to compliment Connor Ashby, and deservedly so. So that's interesting, because Nate doesn't do that a lot. A lot of times he'll just say the quarterback or the numbers and all that, but he heaped the praise on Connor Ashby. I think Maslin is the favorite, no question, there at home last two seasons in the state finals. But I think this is the best quarterback, and And it's hard to believe they played St. Ignatius and St. Ed's, but I think this is the best quarterback maybe that they have faced this year. And I think Hoover has a puncher's chance in this one if they play a perfect game. Give me your thoughts on this matchup, which is the sixth matchup all time between these two schools.
You know, I think you hit it right in the head, and I think Ashby is the X factor. For Hoover to have a chance, I think it starts with the line of scrimmage. And okay. You've seen Maslin enough to know on both sides of the line of scrimmage, if Hoover can't at least stalemate up there and not win a few of those matchups up front, Then it really all falls on a combination of, I think, Maslin, contributing a little bit with, some sloppy play. But definitely, it's going to put it all on Connor's ability. And the thing about Connor is that I think it makes him unique to most quarterbacks they faced is they face running quarterbacks. They face guys who can get out of the pocket and run for yards. Elijah Wesley, Christian Ramos for Eds, even Jackson French a little bit for Ignatius. But Connor's got sort of that Lamar Jackson I'm afraid to say it because I don't want people to say I'm saying he is Lamar Jackson or Johnny Manziel, the good version of Johnny Manziel, the sober version. But that ability that when the pocket breaks down, when he gets out of the pocket, the play is not dead. That's what both, talking to Brian Brohm and Nate this week is his ability to look, keep his eyes downfield. And when the play breaks down, still be able to get out of the pocket and put it on a dime and for 50 yards, that's something that Maslin hasn't seen from a lot of quarterbacks over the last several years, and that's something that Ashby brings to this game that is really the challenge Maslin has to defend against. Think back to the Eds game, the double pass that Eds pulled off to beat him, and the way the defensive back flew up out of coverage on the initial pitch, they can't do that against Hoover. If they do that, Ashby has the ability to really make them pay, if not in touchdowns, then at least big plays that keep drives alive. And so it starts with Maslin up front against a guy like Miller and Woolard and Wise, kind of keeping them in contain, and when they get their hands on them in the backfield, bringing them down. But also the back end guys staying disciplined and staying on their guy and not letting guys like Kenny and Tourneau and the likes run past them, because Ashby will hurt them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. That's why we're looking forward to this matchup tomorrow night. Obviously, Maslin's the favorite. I think Hoover's got to play their best game of the season and make no mistakes if they're going to have any chance of competing in this game. But we'll line it up and we'll kick it off tomorrow night at Paul Brown Tiger Stadium at 7 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on WHBC and Mix 94.1, our simulblast, and then you can read all about it in the Independent, in the Repository, courtesy of Chris Easterling. Chris, we always appreciate the time. I'll see you up in the press box tomorrow, all right?
All right, thanks a lot, Kenny. See you then.